Well, good afternoon. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king, but in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. We need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and if you're out there in the listening audience, why, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 1-464-8295, but please hold your calls, because we have with us right now a very, very special guest, all the way from Rome, where she's been attending the meeting on the International Criminal Court, Dr. Floy Lilly. Floy, how are you?
Oh, hi, Stan, and I'll say good afternoon for you, but it is after 1 in the morning here, you know.
Well, when are you going to be coming home?
I come home Saturday night, and glad to be home, although, as I understand, we're baking and in Texas there.
Right, Floy is with the Clinton Murchison Chair there at the University of Texas, as I remember. But why don't you tell us right now what's really been going on over there in Rome? Because, of course, most Americans don't understand that this is simply one more stepping stone along the way towards the loss of our sovereignty, towards the loss of our freedom, towards the loss of our Constitution, towards the loss of America as we've known it. What's really happened over there?
Well, as you've just put it, Stan, and as the people here are writing about it, not as exposure but bragging, they're saying the most important step towards global governance has just taken place. The creation of the Rome Statute now will shortly opens the door to put in place the International Criminal Court, the Global Supreme Court. It does about four things that the U.S. delegation said, if it does this, then we're opposed to it. Well, it's done all of them. And now I want to see whether the U.S. will act on what they've said, or if all of this was posturing.
Well, you know, one of the things we've heard here, and tell me if it's right, that we're saying, well, the thing that's wrong with it is we want the right to veto. In other words, we want Janet Reno to intervene to protect us from those wicked internationalists. Really, isn't the entire concept wrong, not just whether or not we have a right to veto it or not?
Yeah, I agree with you, Stan. Anybody who's over here arguing about a phrase, a wordsmithing a phrase, is just simply saying, I want the guillotine to be this sharp before it falls on our neck.
Well, tell us, what has really happened? What has been the position of the American representatives? Have they been posturing? Have they really put up any opposition? Has anybody pointed out the fact that we're talking about the destruction of American freedom?
Not one soul out of 2,870 people, that's 1,400 delegates, including 40 from the United States, not one of them, Stan, made any constitutional reference whatsoever. They were quibbling. They were not opposed to the International Criminal Court. There were four of us, as far as I can tell, fairly uninvited and unwelcome and unwanted, but about four of us who are here deliberately doing that. What we said, you'll find on our website, freedom.org, both the documents that the United Nations did not want me to publish are there.
Now, what's
the document, the statute itself is there. Our summary of it, analysis of it, Cliff Kincaid's analysis of it are all there.
Now, is Cliff there with you?
Cliff... to my knowledge, has not attended UN things, but he keeps very close track of these.
All right, so now that's www.freedom.org, and that's Henry Lamb's website. And so the documents
Henry
are there.
Henry is chairman of Sovereignty International,
right.
And I'm vice chairman.
Well, now tell us, what is in the statutes? What did we actually agree to?
Well, the U.S. delegation said they wouldn't agree to a statute where the Security Council couldn't control it. Well, we have a statute now that the Security Council does not control. they said they wouldn't agree to something that had an independent prosecutor, once again, outside of the Security Council control. You've got an independent prosecutor.
And what about the right to trial by jury?
Oh, absolutely not. And the president of the American Bar Association, Jerome Shestack, told me when I asked him that specific question, Stan, he said, oh, well, there are only a few nations that have jury trial. It's no big deal.
Well, it may not be a big deal, to him, because he doesn't think he's ever going to have to stand before the bar of justice. But what this does is deprive every American citizen of our God-given right to a trial by a jury of our peers.
The jury by our peers, the right to be confronted by your accused, the due process, safeguards that we have, these are the 5th, 6th, and 7th Amendments to the Constitution, the Articles to the Bill of Rights, and they are not inside this International Criminal Court statute.
Well, you mean there isn't one of the 40 American, duly appointed American representatives who used any of these arguments?
Not one.
That just shows the, the very attitude of the current administration. Are there any of these people who are Republicans?
Well, they're all... this was a legal business, not as such a political business, so I don't know their politics. They were all lawyers. There were 3 senator aides here. Helms's aide, Mark Tyson, and I believe he's a Republican.
Well,
Senator Biden's aide and a Senator Rod Graham's aide. They were here because all 3 of those senators head committees that when this treaty comes to be ratified in the U.S. will have to be on top of this.
All right, we're going to have to interrupt you there because Dave Wilson's got some things he wants to tell our listeners. Go ahead, Dave.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we start off on a great week of Radio Liberty with one of our favorite guests, Dr. Floyd Lilly, who's on the phone with us from Rome, Italy, especially to tell you, the listening audience, about what's going on behind the scenes in your government and really what's happening to your liberties. They're being taken away. Ladies and gentlemen, you may be frustrated in the thought that there is nothing you can do to change the course of our nation as it rushes headlong into secular humanism and into socialism, and certainly far away from the ideals that our founding fathers established for us so long ago. Radio Liberty and Dr. Stanley Monteith and his associates have put together the things that you need to know in a winsome kind of way so that you can apprise yourself of what you can do in this battle to save America. What you need to do is call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for a copy of the Radio Liberty Resource Packet. You'll find in there a list of all the books, the tapes, the videos, and perhaps most importantly, the 4 tape sets which Dr. Stan and his associates have put together to explain to you the varied web-like things that are going on in this country. You need to listen to the 4 tape set, The Secret Government, to start you on your way to understanding the dilemma we face as citizens of these United States. Call right now, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Ask for a copy of the Radio Liberty Resource Packet.
There are a number of books that are very important for you to get. One of them is written by Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor. Tragedy and Hope is a history of a secret society that took over control of England and brought England in first into the Boer War and then into the First World War, and then the spread of that secret society to the United States. Professor Quigley names names. He names the people who are working behind the scenes, how this covert organization gained control over America's great banks, over America's industry, and over the American media and educational system. Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, is one of the most important books you'll ever read and will give you the information you're going to need to survive in times like these. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR to order Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. Well, Dr. Stan back here with Dr. Floyd Lilly. She's coming to us from Rome. She's been attending the conference on the International Criminal Court. And have we actually signed that, or You know, is this simply going to come back to the United States to see what the Senate will do with it?
Well, there were very few ministers and no presidents here, so only about 10 countries signed the statute. 127 countries signed what's called the final act, which is more like the minutes of the meeting. Out of the 160 countries, though, only six other countries appeared to have been on our side of any opposition to this International Criminal Court whatsoever. I had thought really 3 weeks ago, Stan, that the International Criminal Court might pull together between 20 and 60 nations finally on its behalf, what are called like-minded, but no, just about everybody delighted in the fact that they were in opposition to the United States for kind of the first time. They made quite a big deal of it. They talked about, you know, the sad U.S. government and us, a big bully, and that they have dared to challenge the world's most powerful country.
Don't they realize that they're playing games with them, Floyd? I mean, this is the sort of thing that the central bankers did back in 1913. They opposed the Federal Reserve Act, which gave them total control over our monetary system, and because they opposed it, everybody rallied behind it. And, of course, that's what led us into the sorry state we are today with a fiat money system that can be inflated or deflated at any time at the whim of not the president or the Congress, but, you know, of the very central bankers that the legislation was passed to control. Don't they understand, these people throughout the world, that we're playing like Brer Rabbit, you know, don't throw me in that briar patch, you know, don't throw me in there. And, of course, what we have always wanted was this world government. The people who control America and England have always wanted a world government. And now, of course, this is one of the major steps along the way. World Trade Organization, Bretton Woods, United Nations Charter, the Chemical Weapons Convention, and now the International Criminal Court. Don't the people understand that? Are they that stupid?
I think you might be one of the few people who do understand it, Stan. And you are so right about that. I just put that article up on our freedom.org website Saturday, and I called it posturing, because this is a good cop, bad cop.
Right.
I mean, here you've had the head of the U.S. delegation, a young, blonde, lawyer, preppy-looking fellow named David Sheffer, say, well, you know, we absolutely will oppose this and actively oppose it and never sign it if it happens that American soldiers in some foreign land could really find themselves arrested and prosecuted by this ICC. Well, that is precisely where we are. That will happen. It can happen, and that is exactly what the globalists. That's why I say, all right. I mean, this is strictly posturing. If now we don't pull our troops out of Europe and out of everywhere we are in the world and bring them home, we have put them in harm's way if we do not do that. So we will watch. Now, the NGOs and those who hate America have already said in the press, well, I expect some big, you know, backlash from Jesse Helms and a few of those right-wing extremists in America. Well, okay, right-wing extremists. It is time for us to expose this and say, don't fund it, don't join it, and work against it.
Well, now, of course, Jesse Helms could, because he is the chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee of the Senate, keep this thing from ever getting out of the Senate committee. But, of course, he could have done the same thing with the Chemical Weapons Convention, which was so very important. And then they said, well, the reason he went along and got it out, let it on the floor where he knew it would pass. Of course, he voted against it, because that's what you call posturing. But the reason it was because Madeleine Albright, the Secretary of State, sweet-talked him. And, of course, everybody honestly believes that. You know, I think that we certainly need to let Jesse Helms know that this would be a traitorous act on his part. He may very well go along with it, because I fear that Jesse Helms has a different agenda than most people conceive. But what can we do right now to try to block passage of this legislation?
Well, we, number one, have to get mindful, because you haven't heard any of this from the media. I'm told that in America, the media is already saying to you, oh, the U.S. ought to be ashamed of itself, course, we're in favor of bringing war criminals to justice, meaning that's not what this is about at all. So get mindful. Freedom.org will help connect and link you to some Cliff Kincaid. The four people who were here trying to take the word back to America were, besides me, with three people, Kathy Adams of Eagle Forum, Joan Vion with her own financial services, and William Jasper, whom I'd never met before, who writes for The New American.
And Bill's an old friend. I've known him for probably 20 years. And so
he's a new friend to me, but he has followed this for 25 years, and I have read his articles, and Bill was doing some very good interviewing here.
Well, now, basically, what can the listeners out there in the audience do? Who should they write to? How can we begin to let people understand that this is simply one more nail in the coffin of American independence, that there really is a move towards world government? You've been studying this for a long time. Floyd, why don't you explain to our listeners that what's happening now is simply, part of a master plan for the destruction of American national sovereignty?
Well, first off, understand that world government would eat our Constitution. So we've got to think in terms, do we have world government? Well, what makes a government? Just three elements will make a government stand, and you know this. One is you've got a basket of law. Somebody has created law. Well, internationally, now we have a whole slew of international law setting international norms, but they didn't have any teeth. They didn't have an enforcement arm. A government needs an enforcement authority. This international court, this International Criminal Court, is now the enforcement authority for all international norms. The third element needed to make a government is the ability to tax. And I am saying on your program tonight that before November, with or without Jesse Helms, our Senate is going to sign the Law of the Sea Treaty that has within it the first global taxation scheme. It is the Seabed Taxing Authority. It is in place. The money will start flowing to the United Nations. I notice in the Herald Tribune here in Europe that I read that the U.S. Navy is begging the Senate to pass the Law of the Sea Treaty. With that, you will have global taxation. So you have the laws, you have the enforcement, you have taxation. That is global government.
And you know,
you have global government. You don't have American national government any longer.
And I think that most people, would be against it. In other words, most people are Americans. They want to maintain our national sovereignty. They do not understand that there are these powerful forces working within the leadership of both political parties that are totally dedicated to one world government, which is why Barry Goldwater, in his book With No Apologies, on page 279, commented that, up to the time when the book was written, 1979, there had been, since 1940, four Democratic presidents and three Republican presidents. But other than the first 7 years of the Eisenhower administration, it hadn't mattered whether you had Republicans or Democrats in the White House. Of the same foreign and domestic policies always continued. And I think that's what the American people have to understand. There really is an organized program out there to circumvent representative government and impose upon us this world authoritarian system, which is, just a short while away, and yet most Americans say, oh, well, it'll never happen. And yet you're seeing it unfolding right now, aren't you, Floyd?
I certainly am. Plus, it's interesting that they are, by they, in this case, I mean IPS, which is part of the UN and is a consultative status with the United Nations Economic and Social Council. They have just written an article saying this is the step towards global governance, and speaking in terms of the foundation of the United Nations triggered a movement toward global governance more than a half century ago, and the last decade of this century has established the instruments of global governance, starting with the Earth Summit in 92. And then they speak of America. Due to its constitution, the U.S. administration and Congress have had problems with instruments of global governance. The fact that they see a threat in yet another upcoming instrument, this one of global governance, should not come as any surprise. But the U.S. is aware that it doesn't live in a vacuum, and it has shown enormous capacity to rejuvenate from its fatigue with global governance. And the Canadian who headed the Committee of the Whole, Philip Kirsch, observed that the U.S. and those who are staying out for now will eventually find their way to the ICC.
Well,
this is openly being called the global government creation.
I see, and it's so important that our listeners out there need to understand that we are not helpless. We can do a great deal, but we have to let people understand America is under attack today. The enemy is not without. The enemy is within. Well, Floyd, we're going to have to take a minute or two, and we want to tell our listeners here about some of the items we have at Radio Liberty, which will help to explain what this is all about. And certainly one of the best books on this subject would be the book Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, written by Professor Carol Quigley. And Professor Quigley was Bill Clinton's mentor when Bill Clinton attended college and taught Bill all about the real power structure of the world and their ultimate goal of control over the individual and basically a ruling authoritarian elite. On page 866 of that book, Professor Quigley tells us how we'll be numbered at birth and followed during our entire adult lives with that number through our health insurance, through our medical insurance, through our jobs, right on down through our military experience and then all into retirement benefits. Everything is to be regulated and controlled through a number, and it's coming right down the line now. Professor Quigley understood what it was all about. It was about a world authoritarian system with a loss of all individual freedom, and he thought that was great. So he's writing from the point of view of somebody who fully supports it, and his only problem was, he said, the people within these secret and covert movements didn't want the public to know, and he thought the public had a right to know, not that it would do any good. They should just give up and go along with it, because this was the way of the future. Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. And you really need to get our four-tape set on the secret government, where you'll hear an interview with Professor Quigley where he talks about the symbol on the back of the dollar bill and its true meaning, that occult symbol with the eye over the top of it. Our four-tape set on secret societies, all of these will help you to understand how this movement towards world government comes about and, of course, how it's going to impact it upon you. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, these people have a real plan. They really do intend to dramatically reduce the population of the world. And when they talk about getting the world population down to 2 billion, they're talking about you and your kids. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, or the Secret Societies or Secret Government Tapes. The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Now, if you'd like to call our program or speak to our special guest this afternoon, Dr. Flory Lilly, who's over in Rome right now monitoring the International Criminal Court Convention Treaty that they're working on, you can reach us from across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or if you're in the Monterey Bay area, our number is 464-8295. That's 464-TAX-L. 464-8295. And feel free to give us a call. Dr. Lilly is over there monitoring really what's happening. She is one of only four people who are there who are not of course, totally dedicated to this idea. And I think it was very interesting during the first half hour of our program. Dr. Lilly was saying that because America opposed the treaty, at least supposedly opposed the treaty, because we wanted a veto, if they wanted to bring some of our soldiers or some of our military or maybe even some of our politicians before this International Criminal Court where they'd have no right to trial by jury, because America nominally opposed this, why all the other countries seem to support it. Would you like to cover that again, Floyd, because I think that's really such an important thing to understand, because I think we are, in effect, manipulating all the countries of the world to go along with it because they hate America, and because if America is against it, well, they're going to be for it, without realizing its implications for their own sovereignty and the freedom of their own people.
Well, they really don't. They don't understand that we had the only mature view of human rights and the whole of a unique concept that the rights and sovereignty is within the individual, is not just a favor or a privilege from the state. And there just isn't anybody else who understands that. And America, everybody referred to us as the bullies. Even the people, there are 5,000 people who work at the FAO building, which was created by Mussolini, but which right after the United Nations was founded, the UN bought the building and now have all these bureaucrats there. Worldwide, they have almost 54,000 bureaucrats, and all of them will be exempt from this criminal court.
Now, how could that be? I mean,
they wrote it into the statute.
What's that?
They wrote it into the statute.
So that the United Nations, for instance, Kofi Annan, who was primarily responsible for blocking any effort to do anything about the murder of 500,000 to 1 million Christians in Rwanda, he would be exempt?
He would be exempt.
Well, isn't that nice?
He would be exempt. Now, they displayed on Independence Day, 4th of July, all over central Rome, were flyers of showing Clinton smoking a cigar. And it was a wanted poster, wanted for genocide, with 1,500,000 deaths because of his embargo of Iraq.
Well, of course, there's a certain amount of truth to that. We did kill at least 500,000 children while we were trying to topple Saddam Hussein, supposedly. And yet, when we could have taken him out, our troops were simply 60 miles from Baghdad. Why George Bush pulled them back, then put on the embargo, which did kill probably 1.5 million Iraqis, and there's something wrong with that scenario. Why was it all right to try to take down Saddam Hussein after we could have taken him out militarily, but not when we could have taken him out? And you can understand people's frustration throughout the world, but that certainly should not be used as a justification for destroying the rights of their own people to a trial by jury.
That's so correct. I mean, there are many of the ends that I would even like. I don't like our country's meddling and interfering, Stan. But for us to give up what we have as a mature judicial safeguard for individuals, just as to get to the end of putting the kibosh on some bad foreign policy isn't the way to do it. Most of our bad foreign policy wouldn't be going on constitutionally if our legislature paid more attention to the purse strings and if we didn't send billions more to the IMF and those kinds of things.
If we weren't supporting...
We've got to get our house in order.
Yeah. Well, of course, we're supporting dictators throughout the world. We're supporting anti-Christian governments throughout the world. And, you know, I can understand why people are a little upset at that. But the reason these things happen is because the good people of America and the good Christians of America are just too busy being busy to be concerned about what's going on. As somebody once said, they're so heavenly-minded, they're no earthly good. Now, would you mind repeating what you said during the first half hour? Because I thought it was really so vitally important. And that was the fact that, as far as the fact that this new criminal international court will not allow trial by jury, you'll not be allowed to face your accusers, you really simply are not going to have any rights to a proper trial. Did anybody in our delegation, our 40-man delegation, address these these abridgments of traditional American freedoms and rights?
Well, not a one. And besides not addressing them, there were people who should know better who were claiming to be, you know, good friends of the U.S. delegation, like the president of the American Bar Association, Jerome Shestack, who, in response to my question exactly about jury trials and due process, basically said that, well, many nations don't have jury trials. They are no big deal.
Well, of course.
I think O.J. Simpson thinks they're a pretty big deal.
Right. Well, you know, one of the frightening things, Floyd, was the fact that within the last 2 weeks we found three Supreme Court justices, Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, Justice Kennedy, and Stephen Breyer, were all over in Europe talking to other judges to get ideas on how they dealt with issues so that in the future American law would not necessarily be based upon our Constitution, but upon international decisions, upon decisions made by European judges. But that, of course, simply is saying that our own Supreme Court justices really don't believe in the supremacy of the American Constitution any longer.
Well, I don't have any problem with their finding, just looking around and saying, is there a better way to do this? Is there anything that would give individuals more liberty and safeguard that better? What I see happening, and you know, there are so many countries out there, Stan, who see an international criminal court as vastly superior to the mess they have at home. But that's not true with America. Ours would be a harmonization down. We would be giving up liberties and safeguards that they have never known. And I think we need to be the example to the rest of the world, without thrusting it upon them, however, the example of what that liberty can bring, the joy to humans life on Earth, and as it was meant to be, with rights endowed by our Creator.
Well, you know, it is said that without law, there is no justice. Without justice, there's no freedom. But how are we going to get justice when we have judges from communist China and communist North Vietnam and communist Korea and certainly every the entire government, the Duma, the parliament of Russia today is controlled by members of the Communist Party or people who were members of the Communist Party, and every individual leader of every one of those so-called Soviet states was at one time a member of the Communist Party. How can we be sure that their judges will be impartial and concerned about justice rather than about a political agenda?
Well, of course we can't. We're not likely to see a judge from China, because China was one of the six other countries along with us who voiced any opposition to this. This is thrilling to see that China and Russia are our bedfellows on this. Apparently Israel also joined us, but nobody else did. When you think about justice, consider this. Article 105 of this new Rome Statute allows for funding from individuals. So Ted Turner, send your money.
Well, of course,
this can be global justice that can truly be purchased.
I'm a little concerned when we find ourselves on the same side as one of the most ruthless tyrannies of all time, communist China, and, of course, on the same side as Russia. Even though they're opposing it, do you think that perhaps this is all part of the posturing that we've heard so much about?
I think it's posturing. That's what I wrote that we just put on the website. If the United States had not wanted an international criminal court, we wouldn't have worked so darn hard for the last 3 and 4 years to bring it about, with one senator after another proposing it and proposing the funding of it. I understand 55 senators, whole heart, plus this entire administration, want this. If we hadn't wanted this, we could have prevented it from happening at all.
But now, wait a minute. We voted for the Republicans to get them into the Senate, supposedly because they would, you know, not support this world government idea, this internationalist agenda, because they would be loyal to the Constitution, which they swear to uphold. Are you suggesting that these men are not loyal to America and they're going to support this giveaway of American national sovereignty?
Well, it sounds to me if we voted for Republicans thinking we had a two-party system, then we are naive and uninformed. I wish we had a two-party system, Stan.
Well, it's about time I think the American people understood that we have a Socialist Party A and Socialist Party B, and both Socialist parties are dedicated to the destruction of individual freedom and merging us into a world government. And when we have Newt Gingrich leading the Republican majority in the House, and Newt Gingrich is a supporter of Alvin Toffler, who said we've got to do away with the Constitution and the Bill of, and the Declaration of Independence, why we've got real trouble. And the fact that the average American doesn't know that reflects the degree of control that today exists over what the American people think. And our telephone number, if you're out there in the listening audience and you'd like to call us, is 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Floyd, how can people get to your website again, where they can pull down information about what this statute really is and about the various items that you have written?
Well, thanks for asking. They all start with www, World Wide Web, and then just freedom.org.
Okay, that's www.freedom.org. That's an easy one to remember. And when we get back, we've got somebody on the line, but right now, Dave Wilson wants to tell our listeners about some of the items available here at Radio Liberty.
Corrupt politicians. What can we do? Violence in the streets, decaying public schools, the mockery of our legal system. What can we do? The disarming of our military. What can we do? The preacher should know, but they're not telling you. What's happened to these men of God? What's happened to this nation of God? In his startling new book, Abandonment Theology, John W. Chalfont shows you just how America achieved her greatness through God. This country and her liberties were conceived by men of God. Abandonment Theology gives you the proof. It's a study in our nation's godly foundation, a blueprint for our nation's godly future. Abandonment Theology challenges today's clergy to uphold their sacred duty to again lead America in the name of God. For your children's sake, for your own sake, read Abandonment Theology and find out what we can do.
And of course, you know, ladies and gentlemen, that Abandonment Theology is available right here at Radio Liberty. We were at a meeting this past weekend where a gentleman told me that he was going to buy his second dozen copies of this book because he is passing them out to all of his friends, the clergy people that he knows, and in fact, he's almost decided, he was this close, and I hope he has decided by today, to send it to all the pastors in his neighborhood. Now, that's really what you need to do with this kind of book. After you have read it, after you have talked to your friends and neighbors about it, you need to begin passing it around and even purchasing it for your pastors and for other people who are in prominence. They need to know what's happening, and perhaps even more important, they need to know that there is something they can do. Abandonment Theology, an action guide to save America by John Chalfant, is available from Radio Liberty simply by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. You can write us also and inquire. The number to use on your envelope, Post Office Box 13, Santa Cruz, California, 95063. But the fastest way to get your copy of Abandonment Theology is simply call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
This is a fascinating four-tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Floyd Lilly. It's 1 o'clock in Rome, and she's over there in Rome, Italy. She's been there all this last couple of weeks, as they've been negotiating this International Criminal Court. It doesn't sound to me like they really negotiated. It sounds to me like they manipulated all the other countries in the world backing it because they were just so angry with the United States and with the good justification for some of the things that have gone on. Well, we have somebody on the line, and that is Dave. Hi, Dave. How you doing?
Good, Dr. Stan. I was wondering if I could ask your guest to comment on a situation that I don't understand legally, how O.J. Simpson can be found not guilty of the crime.
Well, that's a long way away from, talking about the International Criminal Court.
Well, wait a minute. No, it's not. Permit me to continue for just a second here. Then he's sued by the in the civil courts and found guilty, and he has to pay this fine. Like, he's guilty and he's not guilty. And then locally, a particular judge found that he didn't have enough evidence to convict a teenager and sentence her to jail, but because he thought she was probably guilty, he sentenced her to community service. And it seems we're getting all this double legalism. Now, what happens if we get a world court and you commit a crime that's illegal in your community, and it's illegal in your state, and it's illegal in your country, and then probably it'd be some statute that you'd have to be tried on in the world court? Would this mean that you could be tried maybe three or four times for the same crime?
All right, let's ask Dr. Lilly that. What did you get the question?
Well, it broke up a little, but I think, Dave, that I understand that you're asking kind of what if there's a conflict between your nation legal system or view of something in this international court.
Well, right now, of course, we can be tried, we can be tried both criminally and civilly in the court at the state, at the national level. So you could end up with four different trials if they really wanted to do that. And let's imagine they found you innocent on all four times. Then could they take you to the world court and try you there and find you guilty?
I don't know. If you sign on as a participant, as a member state to this, part of what you're directed to do is to change your national law to be in compliance with the UN Charter.
Now, wait a minute. Our laws are based upon our Constitution. What you're suggesting is if we sign this, we will no longer have the Constitution as the supreme law of the land, but rather the United Nations Charter, which gets its authority from the dark spiritual forces that energized it, rather than from the God of the Bible, from whom our freedoms come?
It's my understanding that that's exactly what we'll have, Stan.
Well, that's a little frightening. So that we're going to be forced to change our laws to correspond with the internationalist laws or these world laws that have been established, by this godless organization.
We would go from rule by law to rule by men.
All right, and
of course, globalist.
And that, of course, is exactly what our founding fathers feared, because they felt that men were always corrupted and corruptible. That's why we wanted a republican form of government with a fixed set of laws based upon the principles of the Constitution and, of course, the principles laid out in the Declaration of Independence, where our freedoms came from God, not from man. Dave, I don't know if that answers your question at all.
Yes, I think it does. The only other question I would have, Dr. Stan, is what do you think the chances are, the odds are, that this treaty, this Roman law world court thing will be put into effect?
Well, let's ask Dr. Lilly. What do you think? What are the chances of this thing being blocked, do you think?
Being blocked by... Yeah,
being blocked in our Senate.
I think that eventually we will be part of the International Criminal Court and be real leaders in it. Clinton was lauded and praised for being so embracing of this and being a leader of the rule of law in the world.
Well, maybe this time Hillary Clinton will sweet-talk Jesse Helms into sacrificing our rights. Okay, Dave, thanks so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye. But I don't think we should, just lay down and say it's all going to happen. I think that every one of our listeners should start putting calls into Washington, D.C. How soon do you think this is going to come up? Do we have any idea?
I think it will come up fairly quickly. I think it will not be signed... I would like to see it certainly made an election year issue, although the NGOs who are behind this also want to see it made an issue. They feel that, first off, they've got media control on their side, and they think all they've got to do in America is scream that we must be, for the victims of criminals, and therefore we must sign the statute and fund it. Primarily what is wanted is our money
sure.
on this.
And, of course, I think that the listeners out there have to realize that this entire drive towards world government comes from the United States. Most of these countries in the world don't want it, but we've manipulated them, we've forced them, we coerce them, we do everything we can to get these other countries to go along, to give up their sovereignty to this one world government. And, of course, what a great charade this was. Well, America's against it, so everybody else has got to be for it. And, of course, none of these things would work. The entire drive for world government would stop if America stopped funding it.
You're absolutely right. In America, that's the only thanks America was given. It said, thanks to America, their opposition has ensured that the final package was accepted by everybody. And that's why I say this is posturing only.
Right. It's the old Brer Rabbit technique. Don't throw me in the briar patch because, of course, that's exactly what you want to happen. Well, Floyd, as we see step by step by step, people losing their sovereignty, and I get people say, well, really, why should we object to going into a world government? After all, it's prophesied in the Bible, and what we ought to do is just sit around and try to lead others to the Lord, and I think that's important. There seems to be such a defeatist attitude on the Christians of this nation. We are a majority. If we had any leadership that was out there pointing out what's going on and rallying the people behind something worthwhile instead of trying to pass a Religious Freedom Amendment or the Freedom from Religious Persecution Act, which was based upon the United Nations and its Declaration of Human Rights and the Declaration of the Covenant of Human Rights. And when we've got Christian leaders pushing legislation which uses as its authority for even being passed the United Nations, which I believe is Luciferian in its entire origin, how are we going to mobilize the good people to do something?
Well, we must do what we can. I cannot sit. I mean, of course, we're facing the millennium, and the hobgoblins come out of the woodwork every millennium and every end of a century. So we're primarily, I think, stand up against that, because otherwise everybody knows this might all have to happen. But I think the Lord is asking me to be mindful, and being mindful make me useful. So my work is to keep looking at what is the truth, what are the consequences, intended or unintended, to different policy actions. And this policy action, one that has this prosecutor for sale, one that is going to have this prosecutor taking any kind of expertise and offer of evidence for indictment from the NGOs, the very deep green NGOs out there, I think is a recipe for horrible political witch hunts, inquisitions. This will be the world's chance to truly get America. They are envious of us. They don't like our prosperity. They don't like our confidence that freedom has given us. They're just truly envious.
And don't you think there's an intense hatred of America?
That hatred is palpable. The only applause that happened in 5 weeks here came when the U.S. was defeated, and the applause was wild, and there was tears in people's eyes, and they got us.
And
of course, we are the superpower they love to hate.
And, of course, I think that the American public has to realize that we are responsible for the evils that our government has done, because men and women become accomplices to those evils they fail to oppose. We have a responsibility for what's happened and for the hatred that's developed across America, around the world, because of America's foreign policy of backing ruthless dictators and tyrants and murderers. And right today, we have our troops over in Saudi Arabia, protecting Saudi Arabia, and Idi Amin, who personally was responsible for killing a quarter of a million people. He himself was a cannibal, is living there. Floy, we're out of time. Do you have one quick parting remark?
Well, I think we're going to see that this was posturing, so just look for this. Look for the actions. If this is not posturing, then our Senate really will bring our troops home.
All right. God love you, Floy. We'll look forward to talk to you when you get back, and thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks, Stan.
Bye-bye, and God bless you. Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan. That was Dr. Floy Lilly from Rome. And the entire story of how this move towards world government fits together is beautifully covered in our new sustainable development syllabus. It's going to be available here, we hope, by the first of next week. We have previous copies of the sustainable development. I think we only have one or two, but we've tried to go into the background of this dream, the dream of Cecil John Rhodes to create a world government, and how eventually, of course, they mobilized the people of great wealth in the world, all dedicated to this idea of creating a world-ruling elite. And, of course, what's really behind this entire movement is occultism, Luciferianism. And if you'd like to document that, you really need to get our video, The Brotherhood of Darkness, or The True Story of the Murder on the Orient Express. The Brotherhood of Darkness videotape will show you how all of these Luciferian organizations, and they really have occult origins, fit together into this move towards a one-world state. And then, of course, you need to get our four-tape set on sustainable development. And, of course, if you want to get the sustainable development syllabus along with it, ordinarily each one's $19.95, but you can get the four-tape set plus the syllabus for $29.95. And, of course, you need to become informed. You need to help us inform others because, believe me, once freedom is lost, it's never going to be regained, and the clock is ticking right at the present time. I need to remind you, we are listener-supported, and if you agree with us that we have a message that needs to be gotten out across America, call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and tell the operator you want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and become part of the solution rather than part of the problem. Until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.